Morning.
Morning.
Let's continue in our series. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, we were looking at the second commandment, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Amen. Now, that's what we're looking at. And if you recall, last week we began our lesson starting with idols of the hand, man's workmanship, oftentimes those that are not oftentimes, but basically all the time, those that do not know God create God, a God that they want to worship, something tangible, something that they can see, something that they can feel, whether it's made of wood, stone, whether it's painting, whatever it is, that's idolatry in the heathen form. And then we're going to be looking at idols of the mind and idols of the heart. We saw that God is very jealous. God hates idolatry. It usurps his authority in an individual's life because it takes from him devotion and worship and allegiance that is for God alone. And yet, when we bow down and worship idols, we're not acknowledging the true God. Now, in 21st century Christianity, and in our day and age, we're not bowing down to wood and stone, but nonetheless, we do commit idolatry. The Bible says covetousness, which is idolatry, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. And so we can look at that route and look at those things. But to pick up where we left off last week and then to continue, we were looking at idols made of the true God. Now, God made it very clear in the book of Exodus that to represent God with material is a falsehood. Right. We know that Jesus said in John 4:24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth, not in trinket or in doodad, as we say. Because what are those things? It's not God. Though we may think we're trying to represent God, the children of Israel, here, where we find them at the foot of Mount Sinai receiving the law while Moses is away, they create a golden calf. And they say, "Israel, this is thy God." But that was not God. That was a golden calf created out of the gold that they had, that they took from the Egyptians and made. It wasn't God. Isaiah 40 and verse 18 says something along the lines, "To whom will ye liken God?" We can't fancy what God looks like, but we know that we're created in the image of God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, the Bible does teach us that the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. That's Acts 17, verse 30. But in verse 29, he said, hey, listen. Well, let me just go ahead and quote that for you here. But go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy. I thought I knew this one here. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device." And then he says, "At the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Idolatry is forbidden. Idolatry is wrong. Idolatry is the furthest thing from God. We cannot create God and represent him by an image. Now, again, we're still talking about images, because when we get into our imagination, we begin to create a God to suit ourselves, our circumstances, our sin. The true God is invisible. He's not like to anything or anybody. Deuteronomy 4, verse 14. "And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire." This is the passage in Exodus 20. "Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven, by the way, which he created also. Verse 20, but the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. God, through Moses, again, reminded them, listen, you didn't see me. And so don't try to create me. And he covers everything, anything in the air, anything in the earth, anything in the sea. Nor male, nor female, nothing. No visible objects are to represent God, nor are they to be used in the worship of God. But yet many religious systems feel that they have to have some type of visible object to help enhance their worship towards God. Whether it's, again, and we know that the Catholic Church is very big into all of this, whether it's dipping your finger in the holy water and making the sign of a cross, whether it's genuflecting before you sit in the pew, that, by the way, that means kneeling and doing the sign of the cross, or whether having a box that holds a wafer, which is supposedly the body of Christ, and they're to break it and eat it, whether you're to have a crucifix and and hold it or rub it or pray the rosary, the beads, or look at paintings and the stations of the cross that they have set up in their churches. It's all idolatry.
Right.
It's all wrong.
Yes.
Paintings, physical objects, things, right. Tangible things. Remember, we worship God in spirit and
Amen.
In truth.
Right.
We don't need sight.
Right.
We have faith, remember? God, again, he reminded them, listen, you didn't see me. So don't, verse 16 there, corrupt yourselves and make anything to represent me nor to use in my worship.
Right.
All sculptures, all paintings, all effigies are forbidden. Anything that we would try to represent God and say, this is God, is forbidden. The spiritual man needs no aids or help to worship God. We have the scriptures, amen. Which help us to worship God.
Yes.
The scriptures help us to know God because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
And God is pleased with what? Faith. How do we worship God? By our faith. We don't need to use anything as a medium to worship God. We can come boldly to the throne of grace through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and make our requests known unto God. We don't need crosses. We don't need doves. We don't need fishes. God doesn't surely need them to represent him, but yet that's what we do, even in modern day Christianity.
Right.
These are not aids to worship, nor do they represent God. God made it very clear. Don't make anything that flies in the air. Don't make anything that is on the ground, and don't make anything that is under the ground. Through these representations, we're in violation of the second commandment. God condemns this form of idolatry as sensuous worship, not spiritual worship. It's the eye of sight over the eye of faith. Whether it's buildings, whether it's robes, whether it's candles or paintings or tapestries or sculptures or stained glass or ceramics or whatever it may be, we don't need it. God didn't recommend nor command any of this in the scriptures.
Right.
He simply says, come unto me. He simply says, worship me. In God's worship, we worship spiritually, not superstitiously. All of that is carnal worship for carnal minds that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, because they have not the Spirit of God. We are to understand God through his word and not through a visible object. That's why the word is so important.
Amen.
That's why we need to spend time in the word and read the word and meditate the word and study the word, because this is how we come to know God.
Amen.
I am not to know Christ after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I am to know Him, love Him, and honor Him from my heart. Amen. And not through some other medium. Okay? So, as we looked at these lessons here, idols made of false gods and idols even made of the true God, it's called foolish worship, it's called ignorant worship, it's called devil worship, and we looked at some of those verses. Whether it's fish, fowl, or four-footed beast, it's heathenistic, it's idolatry,
right.
It's paganism at its worst. We looked at Deuteronomy there, I've quoted John 4:24, just trying to get back up to speed here. And so let's look now at breaking this commandment, why it's so offensive to God. It's because of His jealousy, He says. He doesn't want to have to compete with anything else or anybody else, but yet that's what happens. And so we create idols of the hand, and number two, we create idols of the mind. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. A very simple verse, a quick verse, 1 John 5 and verse 21, little children, keep yourself from idols. That was pretty quick. Pretty easy, pretty simple. Keep yourself from idols. Now again, we're not bowing down to statues today. But we do bow down to things in our heart. We do bow down to things in our mind. We do give our attention and our affection to these things greater than we do to God. And so, our imagination, what a workshop it is. And the things that we can devise and concoct in our imagination of who God is and who we would like to think God is. And if it's anything that is different than what the Scriptures teach us, that's idolatry. What He is like, how cunning and crafty the human intellect is to create God in its thoughts. And that's what we do because we're spiritual. We want to worship, yet if we don't have the boundaries and the guide, then we begin to just create things out of thin air. It's what the Bible calls in Romans 1:21, vain imaginations, emptiness. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. And so since the beginning of time, man has twisted this verse, and man tries to create God in his image. We don't allow God to be the creator. We want to be the creator. We want to dictate to God how He should dictate to us. We want to respond to God how we believe God should respond to us. Yeah. The idol of the mind is when we create a God in our image after our likeness to suit ourselves. We do this to suit our needs, to meet our circumstances, to justify our sin. When we say things like, well, I don't think God would mind if I do that. But yet, what does His word say? Or, well, somebody might say, well, no, God's not in that. Or, well, God's in that. Well, what does the Scripture say? Because what are we doing? We're now recreating God to suit what we want the ultimate outcome to be. When we say, my God is not like this, or my God does not do that, or my God will not do that, or my God doesn't mind that, or my God this, that, and the other. We may be right because that is our God, but it's not the God of the Scriptures. It's not the God of the Bible. Your God can do whatever your imagination wants Him to do.
Right.
To justify your sin. So when we use God's name, let's use God's word. Let's have a book, chapter, and verse when we begin to create God in our imagination. Let's have some authority to back up what we're saying, our statements concerning God, or it's just coming from our vain imagination. And oftentimes it's a distorted, faulty, perverted, corrupt view of God. Even if you have the Spirit of God, we can be led astray if we do not have the Scriptures to keep us in line of who our God is and how we are to worship Him. Turn to Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50. So what's the point we're trying to get across this morning is this idolatry thing, it goes deep. That it's not just, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me because I don't have any statues in my house. I don't light candles and bow down before a painting and pray. But what do we think of God? What is our imagination of Him? Psalm 50 and verse 21. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. What is God saying here? Listen, I'm not like you, and you're not like me. Quit trying to think that you know me outside of the Scriptures teach. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. God said, listen, no, I'm not like you. I don't think like you. I don't act like you. Isaiah 55, turn there. Isaiah 55. What does this commandment also help us do? It helps give back a reverence to God and His worship because we want to do it right. Remember, our worship is invalid if our doctrine is incorrect. And if what we think about God or how we come to try to worship God is not according to the Scriptures, God doesn't accept that worship. And He made it very clear to the Jews and the Israelites, listen, your feast days, your new moons, your Sabbaths, all this stuff that you think you're trying to get a hold of me and worship me, I reject it. Yeah. I'm not in that, He said.
Right.
Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. The Lord speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. So the thoughts that I'm having of God, they're not His thoughts. Unless I'm in the Scriptures. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's past finding out, the Apostle Paul said. And so we need to be careful when we begin to speak of God and begin to When we order our life, and we begin to represent God, we want to make sure that we're doing it according to the Scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
Let us not be found worshiping an idol of the mind, or designating Him to be the God of the Bible when He's not, because this type of idolatry comes from an ignorance of the Scriptures. Jesus said, "You do err." Not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Why do we err? Because we begin to think that God is like this, and God won't mind if I do this, or God won't mind if I say this, or God won't mind if I think this way, or God won't mind if I worship Him like this, but maybe God has something to say. And so, not only are there idols of the hand, but there's idols of the mind. And then number three, there's idols of the heart. Our affections. In this point, we'll see how the first and second commandment go hand in hand because God is to be worshipped. God is to be before all things. He is to have, or I should say, He requires our allegiance to Him. All homage, all devotion, all desire is to be for Him. But too often, people come before Him. Places come before Him, pleasures come before Him, possessions come before Him, purposes come before him, and then what happens is they become an idol. Because they begin to be exalted in our heart, and now God has a rival. And God doesn't want a rival. God is a jealous God, we read about. And then these idols of our affections receive from us reverence and respect. We devote our time to them. We give our treasures to them. We give even our talents to them. And then God takes a back seat. They get our adoration, our affections, our attentions, our thoughts are consumed upon these things. It's an idol of the heart, and we need to be careful, because it's no different than an idol of mind or an idol of the hand. Because whoever or whatever is now receiving that which is on the throne is receiving that which belongs to God, is what I'm trying to say. It could be, again, activities. Oftentimes individuals have heroes or people they look up to. That's an affection. And the depravity of man is seen in the deification of human beings, whether it's sports figures or actors or singers or celebrities. And those are affections of the heart. Whether it's the almighty dollar that we desire it and we seek after it and we feel that that we have to have this. Whether it's amusement or entertainment, we rearrange our schedule to fulfill certain things. And so we can see how these idols of these affections of our heart can take first place. Because if that is more important than God, then that one, whatever it is, it just won first place. And we begin dedicating our service to something other than God. We begin offering up sacrifices to that which is an abomination in God's eyes. Look here in Luke chapter 16, please. Luke chapter 16. Because without the scriptures to guide us, the things that we think are so important in life, the things that we think are so important to us, in God's eyes, they might not be. Remember, God thinks totally different than we think. And we're digging down and we're laboring on this point because we really need to come back to the place where the scriptures can teach us of who God is, what he likes, what he doesn't like, how I can worship him, how not to worship him, what pleases him, what doesn't please him. And then maybe as a Christian individual in my life, I can have a greater relationship with God now. I can have that personal revival because I'm in my right place and God is in his right place. Luke 16 and let's start in verse 13 because this brings it all out. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Remember, God is a jealous God. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things and they derided him. Remember, Colossians 3:5 says, covetousness, which is idolatry. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And there are a lot of things which are highly esteemed among men, or activities, or places, or people, or whatever it may be, positions that are highly esteemed among men, but in the eyes of God, it's abomination. God could care less about that. That title, that position, that place, that thing. But yet men clamor after it. And men will dethrone God to go after it, whatever it may be. Again, it could be a relationship. It could be within family, children, parents. It could be career. It could be education, whatever it is. The Bible says that God, he takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. He says in Proverbs that the wisdom of man is foolishness. Too often the idol of the heart is served more consistently, more vigorously, and more mindfully than God. And we map out and we plan out how we can achieve something, but yet we don't map out or plan how we can read our Bible, how we can make sure we're at church when the doors are open, how we can have time to pray, how we can be mindful of how we can love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then number two, our neighbor is ourself. The things that really matter in life, the things that will make a difference for eternity and not just today. We're so caught up with today. But what about tomorrow? What about eternity? Men become slaves to idols of the heart. Listen, back there in Exodus 20, God made it very clear the reason why. He said this. He said in verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Brother Junior was talking about provoking. The Bible tells us to provoke not to jealousy. Do we provoke God to jealousy by our idols? Now, granted, we might not have idols of our hand, but we do have idols of the mind, and we do have idols of the heart. And if we know that God is a jealous God and he's deserving of all of our worship, and he will not share his glory with another, the Bible says, why do I continue doing that? And maybe I may be ignorant and not know that it was wrong, but now I may begin to know that it's wrong or think that it may be wrong. Maybe if I went back to the scriptures, I would know that it's wrong. And I could make it right then. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. We read that. So this morning, that upon which you set your heart and trust, that which you give your attention and affection to, that's your God. At that moment. Now, is it wrong to like other things, to love other things, to have affection toward other things? No. But everything in its rightful place. Turn with me to Colossians 3. We'll look at one more verse and we'll close. Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. But too often times our affection lies with things that are on the earth, things that are temporal, things that are fleeting, things which, by the way, God created. But yet, we begin worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator, who the Bible says is God blessed forever. Verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So listen, if we have idols of the mind, if we have idols of the heart, let's put them down, amen? Let's give God his rightful place in our life. Let's worship him not through imaginations or ignorance, but let's worship him through the scriptures. And as we continue down the commandments, we'll know him better, we'll know ourselves better, and maybe we could have some revival in our life. Because when we realize that we'll have no other God before him, remember, commandment one, and number two, the idols, oh, they go hand in hand. Okay, so these idols, I shouldn't make an idol because it's going to end up getting before God. Who has first place in your heart? Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for this Sunday school lesson. Thank you for what it can teach us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have a personal revival in our life through knowing you. As Jesus said, that this is life eternal, that they know the true God. Lord, help us to know you more. Help us to understand the things that we do which are wrong. And Father, when we realize that they're wrong, help us to repent and confess of these imaginations and these affections that can lead us astray from worshiping the true God. Lord, may others know that you have first place in our heart and life. And may you receive all the honor and glory and worship, for thou alone art worthy of these. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you. You're dismissed.